The Last Voyage of the Demeter takes a single chapter from the Dracula novel and adapts it into an entire movie. Having read the book, it honestly sounds like a great idea. I'm sure it turned out great. Right? Welcome everyone to Screams After Midnight. I am Peter, and joining me, as always, is Tim.
Hello, welcome to another boat-filled episode of Screams After Midnight.
Oh yes, we're pro boats on this show, apparently. So yes, we're back to a boat movie. Welcome everyone. This is a horror movie podcast. We get together, we talk about a horror film. It's quite that simple. Today we're going to be talking about another 2023 release that we're catching up on, and that is The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which I think is how you pronounce it. I'm realizing
that. Sounds right.
Yeah. Demeter? Nah, it's Demeter. It's definitely Demeter.
You say Demeter, I say Demeter.
We'll start spoiler-free, of course. I'll just remind you, though, before we get started, if you are enjoying the show and you're watching on YouTube, please do hit the like button. It helps us out a bunch. More people will find us if you do. And there is bonus content that you can get over on Patreon. I'll tell you more about that at the end of the show. But yes, Last Voyage of the Demeter is a very interesting premise. In fact, it's a premise that when I heard they were doing this as a movie, I thought, that's actually a great idea for a movie. Because it's basically a movie based on one chapter from Dracula. The chapter, which is the captain's diary, the captain's log of the ship that's transporting Dracula from Romania to England. And things don't go well on the ship, needless to say.
Oh.
Right? And it's a very atmospheric chapter of the book. It's a very good... But, you know, it's been a long time since I read the book, but, like, I remember really enjoying that part of it and thinking, that's a really cool idea for a standalone movie.
So yeah, and it's something that has been floating around for quite a bit. And in fact, I bet if you go back, we probably talked about it on a bonus episode at some point, like, years ago. I really feel like I heard like a podcast interview, or maybe I read something somewhere that originally I want to say, who's the guy that did The Descent? Neil Marshall?
Yeah.
I don't know why I was blanking on his name, but I want to say, like, he wanted to do it for like a long time, and then I guess maybe just couldn't get it together or fell through.
He got busy with a shitty Hellboy movie.
Well, I mean, obviously I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world, but I mean, that is something that I would have been excited for at one point, but yeah, I feel like a lot of Marshall's stuff has not really lived up to what I liked about his first couple of films. But I mean, similar like to what you were saying, though, like when you hear this idea, it on paper, it sounds great. Because, I mean, there's been so many goddamn versions of Dracula, and guess what? We love them all. They're great.
I don't know if I agree with that last part. Okay, but go on.
But, I mean, as far as I know, though, like, this... I feel like this isn't really something that's been explored. Like, I can't really think of any other movies that has gone into this, which, it's pretty surprising, because, that is... Like, it's a small part of the book, but like you said, it is a very memorable, like, cool part. So it makes sense that, like, oh yeah, this would be a fun thing to explore.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because when the trailer came out, I didn't think it looked that great, sadly. It wasn't exactly setting my world on fire. The director is someone who, Andre Overdahl, I'm probably butchering the pronunciation of that because it's got the score through the O, and I don't know how he say that, but he did Troll Hunter, which I remember being kind of an inventive found footage movie. But then he went on to do Autopsy of Jane Doe, which, while I thought had a good premise, I didn't think it was that good overall. You were a bit more positive than I was on it. Yeah. And then he went on
and
to
I
do...
still like I've seen it a couple of times, and it still holds up for me. So
yeah, and he went on to do Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which I never saw, but
really,
yeah.
Oh, I could have sworn we'd done it on the show.
Did we?
I guess I just assume every movie I see like that we do at the show at some point.
It did come out in 2019, so it feels like we should have done it, but for some reason we just didn't, and I don't know why.
Interesting. So, I mean, I'm forgetting something you said like 2 seconds ago, but so you've never seen it, right?
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not seen that one.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should say my opinion in case we do an episode about it.
Maybe we will. Maybe we will. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I'll give a very brief opinion, just on the off chance anyone is slightly interested. But obviously, if we do an episode, we'll go into a lot more detail. But I was a big fan of those books growing up. I do like that the movie kept some of the, you know, familiar imagery. Like, that was cool to see. I think there was some interesting ideas, but it was kind of wrapped in a story that maybe didn't completely work. But I didn't overall hate it, but I also didn't necessarily love it.
That's fair.
I stand on that. But overall, I do still like the director somewhat. I don't know if I hear he's doing something, I'm not like immediately over the moon, but I'm also not like, you know, I'm not mad about it. And I think knowing he was doing this, I was, you know, I was somewhat excited for it.
I think I'm just kind of apathetic towards him as a filmmaker. But I went into this with, you know, fairly muted expectations, wasn't really expecting all that much. It didn't seem like the response to it was particularly, like, positive last year when it came out, but we'll get to all the ins and outs. Tim, what did you think of The Last Voyage of the Demeter?
So going in, I was pretty excited. Well, I mean, for all the reasons I just stated, let's say before the movie actually came out, I was pretty excited for it. And then, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of mixed reviews after. I had friends that saw it and were kind of just like, yeah, I mean, you don't need to, you know, like, make the effort to go out and see it. Like, I would say it
unless
wasn't like,
you're really into boats,
which we are. Yeah.
Yes, we're very pro boat. Yes.
But, you know, like I feel like it was a lot of like very middling stuff. Like, it wasn't like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's also not the best. And like, some people were positive, some people were a bit more negative. So yeah, when we finally sat down to watch it, I was, you know, at that point I was kind of a little tempered down. Like, I wasn't like, oh boy, like, this is gonna be great, but I was still a little hopeful. And yeah, I guess it was hopes were pretty dashed. I really didn't care for this. I think, again, you know, it's a very interesting premise, but I don't know. I am starting to I'm sure there are a lot of people that could have done, you know, a very good movie with it, but I don't know. I do feel like it's one of those things where, yeah, the book probably got it right, where it leaves a lot more to the imagination versus actually, you know, watching it play out. But I do think there's some, like, decent monster stuff in here. I wish it wasn't so CGI-y, but, like, I don't know, there's, you know, like, whenever the, you know, Dracula pops up, like, I was a little more into it. The problem is that it's 2 hours, and there's a lot of stuff where Dracula's not popping up, and I really was bored to tears. I really didn't care about any of the characters. Like, they're, you know, the performances were fine. Like, you know, the actors were okay. And, you know, there are some actors I enjoyed and stuff in it, but I don't know, to me, it's just like, they're trying to make you care about these characters when really, you know, the story to me should be about this doomed ship. Like, you know, I shouldn't be, you know, like, I mean, obviously you want to be invested in the characters, but like, it's hard to kind of say what I want to say without going into spoilers. I'll just say the ending really, really made me angry. like, as a Dracula fanboy, I guess, like, I just thought, like, this is just not, like, this is just subverting the material in a way I don't like.
I have thoughts on that, too, but we can save that for later, though. I mean, like, I saw the runtime and I went, oh, 2 hours, like, you're going to have to justify this movie, because I think I'm going to be annoyed at the end of this that this was 2 hours long. Mm-hmm. And I was, because it's pretty middling throughout. I don't think it's the worst thing done from 2023. I think 2023 has had worse movies. This is very in the middle, but it's in the middle in a lot of really dull ways, which is... You mentioned the CG. I do think the CG is a big problem in this, and not just because Dracula is always CG, and it really, like... He should still be a guy in makeup. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, he should always be a guy in makeup, or and maybe prosthetics if you're going really monstrous with him. But having him just be a CG creature who's jumping around just completely nerfs any enjoyment I have out of that. But on top of that, I also thought a lot of the other effects were pretty bad. There's a lot of just really kind of like painfully obvious green screen, like throughout, you know, whenever we're up on deck in the ship. At the start, when we're kind of at the shore and the investigators are sort of looking out and they see the ship coming in, like all of it just feels like they're standing on a soundstage. I can just see the actors being surrounded by green screen. And I think part of it as well that just makes it feel really like clinical to me almost is like everything's shot in this, you know, super digital, high quality, modern sort of like presentation. And if this is just a premise that's begging for a grittier, more old school kind of film look to it, and something that feels a bit less clean and just, I don't know, it just nothing was working with the tone that I felt like it was supposed to be going for.
I think like the problem for me is, again, it's a very cool idea, but it feels like this has to be like a passion project of, you know, like a director who, yeah, really wants to work and make it like atmospheric. And instead, this feels like a studio Hollywood movie, like, you know, like you were saying, it feels very green screeny. And again, we'll get to it, but there's stuff in the end that feels like, oh my God, this had to have been like a studio note. Like anyone, I feel like, who grasped like the story from the book would not want to do this. I mean, maybe I'm projecting stuff, but it just reeks of like something that like a studio would be like, oh no, you have to do this. And even to the point where like, it feels like it, you know, the opening like little prologue or whatever that's like on the screen where they like, it feels like they really desperately have to remind you like, this is from Dracula. Like they, you know, give like the little spiel in the beginning, like from Dracula. And it's like, all right, like, yeah, like you don't have to like, you know, actually, have some faith in the audience.
On that subject, I actually think I had no problem with them saying, oh, a bit of text saying, oh, the Demeter was a ship that was traveling from here to here, blah, blah, blah. But it was the fact that it actually said, as told in the novel,
right,
Dracula,
yeah,
that really bothered me. Saying that this is all based on the logs of a captain, almost as if it was a true story, I think is fine. I think,
totally, yeah.
Based on the novel, based as told in the novel, Dracula just is weirdly like meta and like, but you're just basically admitting in the movie that it's based on a book. That's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It's weird and clumsy, and it just feels like people, like a studio note, like someone was like afraid that like, oh, like what if people don't realize this is from Dracula? Like we got to tell them, like they got to know.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like I just think it feels uninspired at every turn. There's like not a single ounce of creativity in this. It feels like everything is done in the most sort of like generic Hollywood way possible throughout. And all I could think was there was a TV show a few years ago called The Terror, right? Which was basically set in a boat, right?
Yeah. And I haven't seen it yet, but I've been wanting to.
Yeah. And it's about these two boats that go missing as they're trying to go through the Arctic Passage and creepy stuff happens. Now, I don't think the pacing was necessarily great in that show. Maybe stretching it out to 10 episodes, whatever, wasn't great. But the vibe that show had and kind of this like sense of dread that settled in as they realized that something was really wrong and they were starting to worry they wouldn't like ever go home again. That's what I imagined feeling when this story is being told, is this idea that like they're not really sure what's going on, but they're starting to be scared of nightfall every single day because people keep dying. I was wanting that feeling. And instead, everything just feels like a... It's not Sony produced, but it feels like Sony made this movie. It's got that same kind of shallow, just like serviceable quality to it that a lot of Sony movies do. I was getting frustrated repeatedly. Like, there were just like, I felt like, why aren't the characters doing things based on what they've clearly learned, right? So I don't even think this is a spoiler, because like, we're talking about Dracula, we're talking about vampires, right? Obviously, these characters don't know what a vampire is. That's fine. They have to learn the rules. But there's a certain point in this movie where they see quite blatantly what happens to a vampire when sunlight hits them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why is no one planning or discussing, right? If you're going to give me the proactive, we're getting into the last act and we've got a plan and we're going to try and do something to contain the monster. Why isn't anyone talking about trying to expose it to sunlight? You know, and if I, even on a larger scale, that's a really specific point, but even just the idea that, like, play with this idea that they know they're safe during the day, but then when mm-hmm. night falls, that's when they should be scared. And it felt mm-hmm. like sometimes, even once it feels like they should know that by now, because it's happened multiple times, it just cuts to a nighttime as if, like, it's nothing, as if it's just a normal transition. And I'm like, mm-hmm. no. They should be feeling tense that night's going to come again, and it's this thing they can't avoid. And it never feels like it does anything with that. It feels like every cool idea that it seemed like was kind of, like, obviously there in the movie, but they were just not mm-hmm. utilizing. I felt that constantly as I was watching this, and it was really frustrating.
Yeah.
And instead, we spend all this time with relatively bland characters, just not really being that interesting, honestly.
Yeah, like, I wanted, like, really, like, gruff, dirty seamen, you know? And instead, get your mind out of the gutter.
if you really want to have that could be arranged.
But, like, I don't know, instead of just have, like, yeah, just very, like, bland, like, oh, here's the very smart, capable main character, and, oh, here's, like, the cute, plucky little kid, and, like, oh, here's, like, the mysterious woman that stows away, and it's just, like, yeah, and I don't, they're just, no one really felt that, like, interesting or anything.
Yeah, and I felt like even some of the things they tried to do felt like they just fell flat. Like, I totally mm-hmm. get the idea that when something first goes wrong, they blame the new person who they don't know very well, and they get suspicious. But it never really amounts to anything. It never feels like, mm-hmm. oh, they actually developed their characters based on this. Because mm-hmm. what I would expect, maybe in some form, is that they almost do something irreversible, but then something proves that it's not them. Or maybe... Mm-hmm. When it does turn out to be there's something really going on that's unrelated to them, maybe that makes the new person bond with them more because now they trust them or something. And I feel like they don't do any of those things. Like, somehow we go through large parts of this movie where it feels like nothing really changes in the relationships between the characters. Mm-hmm. And that's just makes everything feel like there's no real progression or point to anything other than we're just waiting for the next time a crappy CG Dracula shows mm-hmm. up and off someone.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a really, like, bad point that, like, again, like, this is a long movie, and, I mean, well, maybe 2 hours isn't that much longer anymore. It's kind of standard, but...
To be fair, for a horror movie, it is still kind of long.
But, like, I mean, a good 2-hour movie, though, like, won't feel long. Like, you know, like, the fact that it is a long movie, and we do spend a lot of time with these characters, and, again, like you're saying, like, it feels like you never really get kind of past just, like, you know, your initial impression of them. I think that it kind of says a lot about how just dull and how much the movie drags.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the character stuff just feels kind of, like, out of, like, filmmaking 101 in a really kind of, like, just kind of shallow way, where we do have this new character, and yeah, like, obviously I get they want to do this thing where the rest of the crew treat the main character poorly because he's new, possibly also because they're being racist, and they want to say something about that, but it feels like it never actually has that much to really say. It feels more like a shortcut to try and pretend that the character has some weight rather than because there's actually anything that the movie's trying to say about how he fits in this world. All it ever really boils down to is he thinks the world's, like, mean and cruel because mm-hmm. of how he's been treated, and he wants to try and make sense of it, and there's a vampire! How do you make sense of that? Like, I don't get what you're trying to say here, really, beyond just the broad of, oh, isn't the world full of demons, and now I've met one. Kind of, I don't know. It did not work for me in any way, shape, or form. That said, though, it's very, very, very like baseline serviceable compared to, say, I don't know, Five Nights at Freddy's, which was much worse compared to what else did we do that was worse? Dark Harvest, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, I would say I liked it better than Nun 2.
Nun 2 was worse.
But, I mean, I do think it is kind of, you know, again, very standard for a lot of the 2023 horror movies, you know, we've talked about. Like, I do just think it was a pretty bad, bland year for horror. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff like this where it's like, yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is very, like, middle of the road, average kind of thing.
I think this one in particular feels like a movie from like 2006.
Oh, absolutely. I can see that. Yeah.
This feels like a Hollywood horror movie from the mid 2000s. Tone wise, character wise, bad CG wise. Like, there's so many things about it that feel of that era. And I don't mind telling you, Tim, I'm not particularly fond of that era of horror. Obviously, there was some good stuff. But a lot of the good horror movies in the 2000s were foreign. Like, it wasn't the American horror movies for the most part.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a rough time. And I think one of the biggest sins that maybe it has is just how much a lot of it blurs together. When we start talking about it with spoilers in a minute,
it's tough.
I'm not going to be going through it, like, in order, like, scene by scene, like we try to do sometimes. Because I feel like with this one, like, so much of it just kind of... Like, I mean, part of it is that, like, half of the ship's crew are pretty interchangeable. Like, they all have similar beards. Like, one was Irish, so he kind of stuck out a little bit. But there's three guys with beards who I honestly didn't know which was which throughout. Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough one, yeah. Like, I mean, obviously we'll go into more, you know, in depth. But, I mean, you literally could recap the whole movie in, like, probably less than a minute. Like, I wouldn't say there's a ton that really happens.
No. With that said, are we ready for spoilers? I feel
Yeah, let's pop open that coffin and let spoiler killa out.
Aye.
Spoicula. I don't know. I'm trying to create a new character, Spoiler Dracula.
Okay. Very good. I don't think the words spoiler and Dracula go together, Tim. I'm sorry to say.
It's not great, no. Spoicula is not that bad. We'll see if it catches on.
I don't know how to follow that, so I'm just gonna say spoilers from this point on, and we can get into the movie. What do I even want to start talking about? Is there anything I want to talk about?
I mean, we already mentioned the opening text or whatever.
Yeah, there's nothing to add to that, though. That was the whole thing.
I'm just trying to think of the very first thing that happened. I guess it starts with a little bit of a, I don't know, like, what would you call it? Like, basically starts with, you know, the end and then flashes back.
Yeah, it shows you
the fancy movie term for it.
It shows you the police, like, coming to see the wreckage of the ship that sort of, like, crashed onto the shore, and sort of teases that they found the captain's log, which... I thought it was going to be more of a bookend. I thought he was going to take it back to the station and start reading it, and then it was going to flash back from there. But it just kind of... In fact, actually, this reminds me, the cut to title is really lame and awkward to me. It does this thing where... I guess, actually, in hindsight, I guess it was Dracula's face that was doing this, but it was like just like a sort of like quick zoom into a mouth screaming of a monster. And then it just comes up with a title. And I thought, honestly...
I forgot about that. That was stupid.
Yeah, it would have been a better cut to title if you just had like the constable, the policeman, looking down, sort of saying, "Oh, I pray for all the inland that we succeed in destroying this beast," and then just have him look up at the boat, and then just sort of like cut to title there. Like, you could do it, and it would be like a little cliffhanger for the rest of the movie, instead of this lame ass like, "Oh, we have to have something jump at the camera for a split second."
Well, they should have had, like, the rookie cop be like, "Do you think she'll ever sail again, Sarge?" And he goes, "Nah, I think this is the last voyage of the Demeter." And then he puts on his sunglasses and it does, like, that wow thing.
They didn't have sunglasses in 1897, Tim.
I know, I'm making fun of that dumb, was it, NCIS show or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it's CSI Miami that you're specifically
there. You go.
Making fun of. No. And honestly, I was joking. I'm pretty sure they probably did have sunglasses, and I don't see why they wouldn't have sunglasses in 1887.
Yeah. But they weren't as cool as mine.
I was just trying to counter joke, but it fell flat because you're not on my level, Tim.
Sure. One thing I will say that also annoyed me too is, like you're saying, you think that the Sarge should take the journal back to read it. It was driving me crazy that he just starts reading it in the rain and just seeing the water just like pelt that paper, which I'm assuming, the paper quality in the ink is probably not that great back then. I'm surprised that thing's going to last for a second if that dumbass just keeps standing there reading the whole goddamn thing.
I don't know. Part of me almost thinks that maybe the paper quality is better because it's like tougher, sterner, like old school paper, and the ink is from a fountain pen, so it's like tougher ink. I don't know.
they made books stronger back then.
They did. Well, nothing was on Kindle. They had to make sure the books were up to snuff.
Fair.
that's the way it works. So yeah, it goes back to the start of the story. Every so often you hear the captain kind of writing into his log, and I think they might be taken directly from the book, like what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I think more or less. What I was actually wondering as the movie was going on is if it was adhering to the book's like description of events, and so much as like was there a woman on the ship in the book? I don't remember.
From what I recall, it's been a while since I read the book, but from what I remember is that you really don't get that much information from it. I thought it was just all more we don't really know what's going on. And then I assume that they're, again, I could be completely wrong, but I assume most of the characters were probably just like made up for the movie.
I think to a point they were, but I do remember the book saying things like, oh, today the cook went missing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there was definitely stuff like that, which I was just wondering if, like, were they actually adhering to the order that the people that are described as going missing go missing and things like that? But regardless, they do have that in there a little bit throughout the movie. The movie starts, though, with they're docked in Romania and they're... Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you can dock in Romania. Does the ocean hit Romania? I don't know. I actually do not know off the top of my head if it does. But they're looking for more seamen, which Tim's so fond of. And our main character...
If you like boats as much as I do, you probably are also a seamen fan.
Tim loves the seamen. Yep. especially... Dirty semen. What was he said earlier? Dirty, filthy semen? Something like that?
Yeah, they gotta be, like, dirty and gruff. Like, I don't know. I felt like a lot of these guys were, like, too clean and whatever.
They were pretty for the movie, yes. Yeah. They were pretty boys. Clemens is the main character. We're introduced to him, and he wants to sail on the boat. He wants to be one of the sailors. He's turned down at first, but then ends up saving the little boy who's the grandson of the captain. His name's Toby. It was like Timmy, but like more tubular, I guess.
What are you talking about? More tubular. Sure, radical.
Even though it's a little English boy and you're actually living in California, he's the tubular one.
You give me the script. First thing I'm doing is just cutting this kid out. I'm sorry, but I don't need some plucky little kid in my Dracula movie.
I do agree with you, right? I do agree with you. However, one of the few things I'm going to compliment this movie for is that they actually, not only do they kill the kid, they kill him like halfway through. I was very surprised that they just straight up had Dracula get him and bite into him. And then not only that, then you see him get set on fire when they have him out in the sunlight.
I did appreciate that. Yeah,
I was like, okay, this is delightfully dark. I was already like, I knew I didn't like the movie that much by that point already, but it was a little jolt of like, hey, this ain't so bad. They killed the kid.
Yeah, like I, I don't want to praise it too much, but like anytime we did get to, you know, some vampire stuff or some monster stuff, which, you know, for me was a little few and far between, but like, I'm not saying that it was like that well done all the time, but I at least wasn't bored by those parts. Like, I don't know if the movie was a lot more of those, like, yeah, you know, I don't think it would necessarily be good, but maybe it'd be a bit more, you know, goofy fun or something. But yeah, that's probably about the best thing I can say, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the CG of Dracula did kind of ruin it. Occasionally, there would be, like, a creepy shot of him standing, like sort of halfway into a doorway or something, and it would just be, like, him standing there, and that was maybe a little creepy. But yeah, for the most part, though, like, any time he was moving around or we could see his face close up, I couldn't enjoy it. It just looked too stupid and shit.
Yeah, I do kind of like the idea of having this more kind of monstrous form of Dracula, like, you know, because, you know, most movies, like, there are definitely times where, like, you know, he'll transform into different creatures or whatever, but a lot of times you'll see him mostly as, like, a person. So I do like the idea of being like, oh no, like, we're just going, like, full monster Dracula. Like, to me, that was kind of interesting, but then it's just like the same shitty CGI bat monster, you know? Like, if they at least maybe mix it up and, like, maybe, like, oh, like, you know, at one point he turns into a wolf or like a more demon-y thing or something, like, I don't know, maybe that'd be more interesting. But just, yeah, after you see it a couple of times, I'm not like super like impressed by the design or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know how much there is to say, like, about, cause, you know, because obviously he kills one person one night, right? And then he kills another person the next night.
And at one point I'm like, please stop going up to the deck alone at night, people. What are you doing?
Well, they have to, because someone has to man the wheel. Otherwise, the ship will go off course.
That's a myth.
Remember, there's a line early on about how this is actually a pretty old ship, because there are most new ships, and even in this time period, are steam engines with like that are built out of metal. And this is like an old wooden ship that's got sails. But, you know, the captain's a sentimental old fool. He won't give up his ship.
Yeah.
Well, except for the fact that he's given up his ship because he says it's his last voyage and he wants to retire. But, you know. It was just 2 days from retirement.
I did think that was funny. Like, yeah, when he was talking about that, I was like, oh, we're doing like the, like, you know, the typical cop storyline of the, like, oh, I'm almost out of the game.
Yes. And his first officer or first mate or whatever you call him is David Dasmachian.
Yeah. Becoming a bit of a horror icon, I suppose, because was Boogeyman also 2023?
Oh, it was. Yeah, you're right. That was 2023. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was in that, and then he has the you know, Late Night with the Devil coming up, and then I think I just saw a headline today that he's in another horror movie coming out. So he's it's interesting. He's kind of, you know, getting his bona fides after just being like. That one dude from The Dark Knight was like the only thing I knew him for, knew him as for a long time, and then all of a sudden he's popping up everywhere.
Yes. I have nothing to add.
I do like him as an actor. I feel like his character didn't really have much to do here. Nah, I guess I could probably say that about most of the characters, but.
Yeah, he's kind of a nothing character here for the most part. Like, I can see what his role's supposed to be. He's the one who doubts the main guy, Clemens, and sort of, like, clashes with him a bit. But not as much as, like, because there's, like, a Russian guy. Because the first guy that dies is, like, the Russian one who is, like, racist. And he goes first, and he gets his death. And they just assume that he fell overboard. That's what their assumption is. And then, you know, once more people start going, they start thinking, oh, this is a bit more suspicious now.
Yeah. I think technically, I mean, I don't know if it, whatever, we count this or whatever, but I guess kind of the first true victims or whatever would be all the animals.
Oh, the livestock, yeah, which are there for various dinners over the course of the
the
voyage.
I don't know, I just want to be like, I don't know, I'm curious, like, Dracula, like, what's your plan here? Like, you can't just, like, kill everything, like, 2 days into the trip. Like, you gotta pace this stuff out. Like, is he really that hungry? Like...
Well, to be fair, they kind of mentioned that later on, that he is pacing himself through the humans. Like, he's only eating one per day because he wants to make them last until they get to the location. I think it's also implied that before he kills the first guy, he's kind of weak. Like, he's, it's like, because, so the woman that ends up on the ship was in one of the crates, and he was basically just feeding off of her. And this, her name's Anna, and they get her out, and Clemens is a doctor. And part of his backstory is that he is the first black man to graduate at Cambridge with a doctorate, but no one will hire him. Like, everyone just keeps saying they don't have positions available for him. So you know, the systemic racism is still just kind of in the way of him actually doing what he wants to do. But he's determined to save her, and all the other guys think it's bad luck to have a woman on a boat, which is a myth, because I remember this in the original King Kong. Like, that came up in that as well. Men, for a long time, thought it was extremely bad luck to have a woman on the boat.
Well, you know, she would just constantly be nagging, like, when are we going to get there?
I think it was more of a superstitious thing nagging wife kind of thing. But that's why we're only pro-boat in the modern sense.
Oh, sure, sure, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we don't adhere to all that old-timey boat sexism.
Yes. Just good modern boats with lots of seamen.
Exactly.
Yes. Where was I even going with this? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, she is given some blood transfusions, eventually does wake up, and comes... It's after, like, another two people have died. She comes out blubbering, "He's here! He's here! The Count Dracula is here." I mean, she doesn't say those exact words, but she's basically from the village.
Dracula, from the book, he's here.
She's from the village that's on the way to, like, Dracula's castle in Transylvania, basically. And it sounds like the villagers, like, sacrificed her to Dracula so he'd leave them alone, which is kind of messed up.
All I thought it was more like they packed them a snack.
But honestly, the middle of the movie is kind of a blur. The next main thing I really remember, honestly, other than just, like, them being picked off occasionally in uninteresting ways, one like, ends up in one of the sails, and, like, the blood's dripping down on the kid, and that's how they find his body.
The one sequence that kind of stood out to me a little bit was again, I can't really remember the different characters that well, but one of the characters, like, basically becomes a vampire himself.
Yeah,
at least kind of a Walking Dead kind of guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to, is that one guy it's two of the guys are attacked. One is killed and the other one's left there alive, but he is bit. And they have him on a table. They actually tie him down because he's acting kind of erratic. But it turns out that he is just a vampire now, maybe even also kind of a Renfield as well. Feels like he's going for, like, a victim to feed his master kind of thing. But
Renfield, another movie from 2023.
Very good, Tim. You remembered something. Congratulations. Round of applause, everyone, for Timmy. But he chases the kid into the captain's kind of, like, cabin. And the kid, like, there's a lot of narrow escapes and, like, him squeezing through gaps and stuff. But he locks the door in the captain's cabin, and this guy just starts headbutting the door until it breaks. And this is actually one of the effects that I think was one of the worst ones in the movie, is that when you see his face after he's done this, they CG'd in, like, more blood coming down his face, and it looked utter shit. Like, it looks so bad.
It is so wild to me that it's just, like, you know, I guess people have figured out that, like, oh yeah, like, CGI is more cost effective or whatever than actually just, you know, getting some blood and makeup on someone in real life.
Yeah. What was weird about the sequence, though, is that after a while, he just stops, and then it turns out Dracula's already in this room with the kid, and this is where the kid dies. This is where he gets grabbed, and, like, the grandfather captain and some of the others are yelling through the door trying to get to him as Dracula's killing the kid. But I do question, like, how did Dracula get in? Or was he already in there and, like, the other vampire dude just realized it, basically, and said, oh, I guess I'll stop because my master's already in there. I don't know.
Very good questions.
I do have an answer. He also gets out somehow as well. Maybe the implication... Because you never see him turn into, like, smoke in this or, like, fog and go away. Maybe they're implying that he can do that. You see Mist come around the boat at one point, but that's not him, though. He's like still there physically inside the Mist. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be the only possible explanation or whatever. I mean, you know, those criticisms aside, though, I did think this was, you know, not like a terribly bad sequence. I kind of dug this, like, at least maybe in terms of compared to the rest of the movie that was really boring. Like, this is something I was like, okay, I'm having a little bit of fun here.
Yeah, so notably, this guy who did this, they wrestle him down, right? This your crewman is turned into a vampire, and they tie him to a post on the deck, and when morning hits, he starts screaming that it burns, and then he bursts into flames, CGI flames, no less, obviously.
And cowards that aren't willing to set their actors on fire.
Like, I'm just saying, there was a day when you'd have a stuntman and some, you know, obviously some safety gear, do some firework. Those methods, those ways. I thought this was a big deal. I thought, oh, they've just seen what can kill a vampire. Which is why it really frustrated me. Why, for the next like half an hour, they were all planning to shoot Dracula with guns. And I'm like, oh, I get that you don't know that this isn't going to be effective yet. But I feel like you know definitively that fire will kill him. So can we please try and factor that in to the plan? Maybe a little bit. Like, I want to root for these characters. I want, when they're planning to try and like form some sort of plan to take down the monster, I want to root for them, because that's one of my most favorite parts of any type of movie like this, is when they start to actually be proactive and say, how can we use the things we've learned against them? And these characters just refused to learn any lessons from anything that happens, and it's really annoying.
Yeah, it's not great.
A couple of days later, the kid dies, like, because he's kind of alive, like lying there for a while, but he finally dies. And they're going to, like, throw him overboard. They've wrapped him in a tarp, and they're going to throw him overboard. And the captain's like, I saw him move. Don't throw him over. And they're like, Captain, he's dead. He's not breathing. And he rips open the tarp, and you see the kid's face. And sure enough, it's daylight, right? So after a few seconds of, like, a grace period, he sits on fire, and he sort of sits up and tries to grab his grandfather. So he burns his grandfather, because he's on fire now, and the fire's all in the grandfather's face, the captain. So he falls back, all burned, and then the kid falls into the water. I thought this was actually just almost pretty funny. Like I wasn't completely laughing, but it was it was verging on being a pretty funny moment for all the wrong reasons.
Sure.
But again, this is the second vampire that they have seen be set alight by the sun. And yet, not once did they ever ponder the idea that we should just try and trap him somewhere up top until daylight hits.
Yeah, seems like that would work.
it really annoyed me, that's all.
I'm sure they're very heavy, but if you can, you know, move the coffin, or I don't know, if they're just below deck, if you can somehow get a hole from the deck to the where the coffin is, I don't know.
Yeah, because presumably he's going back to sleep in his dirt every night. Yeah, if you just sabotage all the crates and make sure he can't do that, then all of a sudden he's in trouble. For me. I mean, they form a plan that, you know, they set up a trap where some of them are up top on the sails with guns. Of course, Dracula starts flying around like a bat demon and just starts picking them off pretty quickly. So there's not really all that much to it, ultimately.
Yeah. There's the one guy, I think it's the cook, that tries getting away, like, in a little rowboat or something.
Yeah, that's somewhere in sort of the early second half, I'd say. He just takes a lifeboat and just tries to go, but Dracula says, and flies out on his bat wings and gets
him. I mean, I don't know about you, but this kind of bothered me, because I thought that there's a whole thing where, like, they can't, like, cross running water. I forget if that's, like, a Dracula thing or, like, a general old vampire kind of legend thing, but
To be fair, vampire rules are kind of like, when anyone's making a movie or writing a vampire book or whatever, they get to pick which rules apply to their universe, and Honestly, the running water thing, like, I feel like I've seen that come up like twice in my life in movies. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of fine with this.
I mean, to me, it just, I feel like the whole point of the thing is that, like, you're trapped on the boat. So I don't know. It feels like a little cheap to me that he can just, like, fly. I mean, granted, I'm sure he wasn't that far from the boat. Like, it's not like he, you know.
Like, oh, yeah. It's like less than an
hour away or something. Yeah. But I don't know, still it just kind of seems to me like, it's a little cheap.
I never get the impression that he can fly a long range. It's not like he could just fly from Romania to England. He still needs the boat to do that. But that in particular never bothered me. But I'm trying really hard to think if there's anything worthwhile talking about and like, because all the action towards the end, like, I don't really, all of it's just kind of blurring together. I remember Dracula getting trapped between two beams at one point because Anna cuts a sail.
Yeah, like, that's like the very like end.
Yeah.
I will ask you though, just, you know, before we kind of, I guess we're pretty much towards the end, but before we get there, what did you think about the choice or whatever they made where Dracula, for the most part, he doesn't talk, but he does this kind of thing where he like, I guess we'll repeat what people say to him. I don't know. Did you think that was like effective or creepy at all? Or
no.
Like, you know, a lot of times it'll be like a guy being like, "Oh God," and then like Dracula will be like, "Oh God," you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it seems like they're trying to be really creepy with him. I don't know.
It's kind of weird. It's almost like they're implying he's learning how to speak, but that doesn't make any sense because if this is still following Dracula lore, he's already had like Harker back at his place to like sign all the deals to come to his new estate in England. Yeah. So he clearly can talk. He can clearly still sort of function as someone who looks vaguely human, which is the one thing I do kind of like about the ending is at least you get to see him pretending he's human by wearing clothes, just because I thought it'd be interesting to see that at least, given how monstrous he is throughout the rest of the movie. But honestly, like, the only interesting thing I think he did in the entire like last half of the movie for me is at one point he wraps his wings around one of the characters and like the character's trying to like move forward and it's like they're going through like a sort of like a sheet of flesh because it's like the wings over their face and it looks like a layer of skin with like veins in it and stuff, but almost like they're trapped in plastic or something. I thought that was a creepy visual because they made a conscious choice to have Dracula be very skin toned. Like, he's not like some you know, because like Nosferatu can be a bit more grey, they can sort of go a bit more like undead looking with his like tone. This felt like they're going, no, this is actually kind of creepy that it looks like just stretched skin as the wing kind of thing. But the boat's not in great shape. So here's the thing. So to talk about, I mean, honestly, all we really seem to want to talk about is the ending at this point because there's not really a whole lot of interesting things before then. I would say, I kind of called it at the start. I was like, you know what? Because this is a movie that's just about this part of the story, I bet you that someone the captain couldn't have known was going to survive survives and is like just not with the ship when it arrives in England. Someone's going to be on a lifeboat or something and get away. And sure enough, our main character Clemens does survive. In fact, technically, him and Anna both survive, but Anna's already turned into a vampire. She's been slowly turning the whole time, so she's left behind to sink like the Titanic, you know, going down, or maybe Terminator 2. She's down into the ocean with a thumb like that, you know. Anyway, so we get this coda where Clemens is in London, and he's. So we see like Victorian streets and that kind of thing, and he goes into a pub and he asks for directions to the estate that he knows Dracula owns. And it's implied that he's going to hunt Dracula. And we even get a little tease here where Dracula's sitting in the corner of the pub and he's hot hat and he's got his coat on. And the final shot is when they run outside and Dracula's over kind of in the archway of an alleyway and there's like mist behind him. And it's meant to be classic Dracula thing. And he smiles, right? Dracula smiles. And that's the end of the movie. It is weird because you're sort of thinking, but it's technically isn't the rest of the book meant to be happening now with, you know, Harker and Nina and Lucy and all that other stuff. Renfield even, you know, all these other characters. I guess it still technically could be, but we've just got this character Clemens running around trying to kill him as well. The only assumption I can have is that Dracula just like kills him pretty quickly, and that's why he's not important in the rest of the book.
Yeah. I hated this so goddamn much. Like, up until now, like, I haven't been enjoying the movie that much, but it has been just more like, all right, it is what it is, whatever. But like this, like, literally, like, made me angry, because to me it just totally misses, like, the point of the book and the point of this chapter and the idea of filling in the story. Like, again, you know, as someone who's a fan of Dracula and, you know, thought this was an interesting idea, what I wanted to see was, you know, like, a very, like, grim story about people who are just, you know, completely doomed. And, you know it's not going to be a happy ending. But again, it just feels like so, like, hacky Hollywood studio to be like, no, like, we have to make him, like, you know, this main character, you know, he has to be like a hero. He has to defeat Dracula, and we have to set up, like, you know, he's going to get his revenge, and, like, you know, hey, if it does good, maybe this is our in for a franchise. And then it's like you said, it's like, no, like, at this point we should be going into, like, you know, the second half of the book Dracula or whatever, not this, like, weird, like, new spinoff fan fiction thing where it's like, all right, now, like, there's this hunter who's coming after you, Dracula.
I mean, do you know what I think of, Tim, tone-wise? I think of Nosferatu 79, the Herzog one, right? You know, the way that when he's come to the village, like, everything, like, seems like it's gotten kind of bad, and it feels kind of like there's, you know, the chanting's in the soundtrack, and it feels like everyone's staying off the streets, and, like, that's the sort of tone I wanted on this boat, is that it feels like evil itself has descended upon this thing. But instead, it's just characters monologuing about how there's a demon here. So it comes off as really kind of hokey, but not in a fun way.
It's like you said before, like, there's no tension or fear or anything. Like, it's all, like, you know, characters and, again, I just want them to feel, like, very, like crap. Like, there's nothing we can do. Like, we're, you know, victims of fate and nature at this point or whatever. Instead, it's like, oh, like, hey, maybe we can try blood transfusions and do this or that or whatever. And again, it just feels like, you know, stupid studio shit where it's like trying to, like, prop these people up. And
I still think a movie about this chapter is a great idea, but I think it has to be more of an atmospheric, like, really strongly directed thing that's more about the tension and the scares, the tension and when Dracula is going to appear, and when he's going to, like, pop out, and how the crew are reacting to it and becoming terrified of being nighttime. Like, there's so many cool things you could do with it, and this movie somehow dodges doing any of them. It's really almost quite impressive.
It feels like the safest version of this idea where, they're not, you know, no pun intended, but, like, they're not trying to rock the boat too much. Like, you know, they're just giving you the very basic bland thing they probably think that, you know, the average moviegoer doesn't think about these things too much, you know, once or whatever.
Yeah. It's such a shame. It's like the idea that we have to have a hero character, the idea like that we can't just focus on the big set piece moments of, like, how certain people are taken out and the paranoia spreading amongst the crew. Like,
you can't have, like, a, you know, makeup heavy kind of, like, slow, you know, creepy atmosphere Dracula. It has to be this big CGI bat creature that's, like, flopping all around.
I just think the directorial style for this is just completely the opposite of what I think it should be. I think this should be a slow, brooding, something's in the shadows type of movie. And instead, it's a lot of action scenes. It's a lot of quick cuts. It's a lot of, you know, all that kind of thing.
I feel like, you know, they should have watched, like, you know, like, when they're getting ready for this movie, like, they should have looked at stuff like the original Alien or something instead of, like, I don't know, they probably, like, looked at Van Helsing or something. It was like...
That's a good point. Yeah, Alien on a wooden ship. That's effectively what this should be in a lot of ways. with no survivors, and instead we get this. And you know, like, this has been one of the tougher ones to talk about recently, because I feel like so much of it is very forgettable, and I couldn't like differentiate like certain characters and how they meet their demise. And
I mean, I literally said, like, if you could describe it in 1 minute, like, not a ton happens for a 2-hour movie.
No. So cannot recommend Last Voyage of the Demeter in any way, shape, or form. It's not as bad as some of the things we've done from 2023, but it's not good either. So, yeah. All right, okay, let's just rate the son of a bitch. I'm done. I'm so done.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good. I'm not going to go as low as, like, you know, some other movies that I feel like we've done recently. Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, you know, you said it a couple times, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, it's bad, but, you know, it does feel a bit more middling than it does, like, you know, outrageously bad. Again, the stuff I'll give it credit for is, like, you know, I thought the performances were, you know, fine. And I don't think they're necessarily good, but, you know, the I guess more actiony stuff, the monster attacks and whenever Dracula's on screen, like, that stuff to me was entertaining to a point, despite, like, yeah, some bad CGI stuff and whatever. If it was a little bit more of that and you trimmed it down to just, like, you know, tight 90-ish minute movie or something, I think it could have been maybe a lot more fun versus, you know, just being kind of a slog to get through. But I'm kind of around a 4, I guess, which, I don't know, maybe that seems a little high, but
I don't know. No, Tim, I agree. I think it's a 4. That's exactly the score I was going to go with. It's just, it's not like absolute dumpster fire. It's just bad. Yeah. You know, it's just some stuff's middling, some stuff's a bit bad. A lot of it is just barely serviceable, but, like, none of it inspires anything. None of it made me feel anything.
Sure.
And yeah, it's also a missed opportunity based on, which I think is a genuinely good premise. So
that's probably the worst part. It's like, yeah. Cause yeah, you know, I mean, they do, you know, remake stuff all the time now, but, you know, no one's gonna revisit this idea anytime soon.
Yeah, wild stuff. But hey, that is Last Voyage of the Demeter. Don't watch it. 2023 strikes again. it's been a rough trip. We got a couple more 2023 movies we'll get to, although we won't be doing that next week. Is the off week for the public episodes. It'll be the Patreon bonus episode. We don't know what that is yet because we haven't decided. So we'll see for whatever that is on Patreon next week. You can support us over there and get access to that for just $3 a month. There's also other bonuses and stuff if you want to support all the content and help keep it all coming. But that's over at patreon.com/MailFuzzTV. But yes, that is us, though. So thank you very much for joining us. We always appreciate it. And of course, you can hit the like button, comment, let us know what you think of the movie. All that stuff does help as well. So thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Keep watching scary movies. Goodbye.